comparison, and tonight we're going to look at the last one. And this one isn't, it does apply to us, but it isn't necessarily a comparison for us. The first nine were, the Bible says in 1 Peter 1:14 that we're supposed to be as obedient children, chapter number 2, verse 2, as newborn babes, chapter 2, verse 5, as lively stones, chapter 2, verse number 11, as strangers, chapter 2, verse 16, as free and as servants, chapter 2 and verse number 25, as sheep. And then we saw in chapter 4, verse number 10, last Wednesday night, that we are to be as good stewards. And then Sunday morning, in verse number 16 of chapter number 4, we saw that we are to be as a Christian. And really, that just wraps up the other ones. But tonight we're going to see the last one, and it doesn't necessarily apply to us, even though it does. And we're going to find it in verse number 19 tonight. And I want to bring you a message tonight entitled, Committed Unto the Committed. Committed unto the committed. Notice, if you would, verse number 17. The Bible says, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. We mentioned that Sunday that apostasy had already begun to infiltrate the infant churches there in the first century. And Peter says that, look, judgment must and always must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? What is going to be the end of those who never trust Christ as Savior if judgment has to start with us first? And then he says, and if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Notice verse 19. Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing. And here's our as comparison, as unto a faithful Creator. Everything that I am, everything that I do is because I have a faithful Creator. It's not because of anything in me, it's because I have a Creator that I can trust because He is completely trustworthy. We mentioned this Sunday morning in our 3 points Sunday morning about in verse number 16, as a Christian, we said that there's a title which defines us. We said there are traits which distinguish us. And then we said there's a trust which drives us. And that's verse number 19. He is the one that we trust in. And because of that, we can keep going even when we are suffering. And that's what 1 Peter primarily is all about, is about suffering. We saw this last week or a couple weeks ago in chapter number 2, verse number 21. For even hereunto were ye called. Called to what? We're called to suffer. And so even when we are suffering, we can trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because He's our faithful Creator. Think about this for a moment tonight. We place our faith and trust in Him for the salvation of our soul. By the way, the most important thing, most important decision that we'll ever make, right? Would you agree with me on that? Most important decision we'll ever make is what we do, what we decide to do with Jesus Christ, whether we trust Him or whether we reject Him. Most important decision we'll ever make, okay? And so many of us, if not most of us in here tonight, have placed our faith and trust in Jesus Christ for the salvation of our souls. And that's the same trust that we ought to manifest every day. Just in daily life. When the troubles come, when the suffering comes, when the trials come. If I can trust Him for my soul, verse 19, I have committed the keeping of my soul to Jesus Christ. Okay, if I can trust Him for that, then I can trust Him for anything else. I can trust Him for finances. I can trust Him for help when I am suffering, when I'm persecuted. We can trust Him for all of that. The word committed means wholeheartedly. It means wholeheartedly dedicated. That's what the word committed means. Verse number 19. It says, according to the will of God, commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. The word faithful means trustworthy, constant, dependable, true, committed. Means the same thing. Not a different word that means the same thing, because faithful carries a little bit different context, but committed unto the committed. I can be committed to Him because He is committed in His faithfulness, in His mercy, in His love, in His grace, in His righteousness, in His holiness. And tonight I want us to see two areas in which we should be committed right here from the passage. And then we'll see at the very end, we'll see one reason why we should be committed. So let's pray and ask God to help us tonight, and then we'll get into the message and ask God to help in a special way tonight. Father, we love You, and Father, we're grateful that You are our faithful Creator. Because of that, we can trust You. You're faithful, You're trustworthy, You're dependable, You're true, You're committed. You're committed to who You are. You never change. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And because of that, we can commit our souls to You, but not only our souls for safekeeping, we can commit our daily lives to You for safekeeping. And so, Father, I pray that You'll teach us tonight, remind us of some things maybe that we haven't necessarily forgotten, but maybe we just haven't thought about in a while. I pray that You'd remind us, help us, encourage us, convict us if that would be necessary. I do pray if there's one here tonight who has never committed their soul to the safekeeping of Jesus Christ, Father, I pray that tonight would be their night of salvation. I pray for the little ones next door. I pray that You'd help Miss Beverly as she teaches. I pray that You'd give them a good time together tonight. I pray that they would listen and obey. And we'll thank and praise You for what You'll do in these next few moments. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Number one tonight, we should be committed, first of all, unto His will. We should be committed, first of all, unto His will. Verse number 19, the Bible says, "Wherefore let him that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing." First of all, we should be committed unto His will. What is God's will? There are many things in the Bible that there are many people who say, well, you can't know God's will. And I understand there are some areas that we need to pray and pray and pray and seek God's face, because the Bible doesn't say specifically that this is God's will. Now, I've given you an example. God's Word didn't tell me that I was supposed to marry Beverly Herring. It didn't say that in the Bible. However, the Bible does give me direction on what kind of lady I should marry. The Bible does give me direction on what kind of young man I should have been when she was looking for a young man. And so, even though the Bible doesn't say that, the Bible does lead in God. However, the Bible does say in many areas that this is the will of God. Let me give you a few of those tonight. And then, of course, this isn't an exhaustive list, but I just want to give these to you tonight. We should be committed unto His will. First of all, suffering is God's will. Suffering is God's will. It says it right here in 1 Peter 4:19. We read again 1 Peter 2, verse number 21. "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow His steps." First of all, tonight, suffering is God's will. And we live in a day where even Christians, for this matter, don't want to suffer. When any little thing comes into their life that's a little bit off kilter from their schedule or from the way they think things ought to be, it's just like, I mean, everything just blows up in their lives. Look, God has called us to suffer. Suffering is God's will. Secondly, thankfulness is God's will. The Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5 that we're to be thankful. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse number 18, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Suffering is God's will. Thankfulness is God's will. Repentance is God's will. 2 Peter chapter number 3 and verse number 9. The Bible says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is what? Long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." What did He say? Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Suffering is God's will. Thankfulness is God's will. Repentance is God's will. Number 4, good works is God's will. Hebrews chapter number 13 and verse number 21, good works is God's will. The Bible says, "Make you perfect," Hebrews 13, 21, "in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." Good works is God's will. Number 5, a transformed life, a renewed mind is God's will. Romans chapter number 12 Romans 12, verse number 1, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you do what? That you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And then verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by what? By the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what? What is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God? A transformed life, a renewed mind is God's will. And look, I submit to us tonight, that's something that has to happen on a daily basis. We need to renew our minds on a daily basis so that it's not conformed to this world. Because listen, every single one of us are bombarded on a daily basis with this world's philosophy, are we not? Sure we are. We're bombarded, whether it's on the radio, whether it's on commercials, or even on the news. We are bombarded with the philosophy of this world. A transformed life, a renewed mind is God's will. Number 6, hard and honest work is God's will. Hard and honest work is God's will. Ephesians chapter number 6, beginning in verse number 5, the Bible says, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Hard and honest work is God's will. Verse 7 says, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. It's God's will. Hard and honest work is God's will. And then lastly, number 7, and again, we could go on and on and on. First Thessalonians chapter number 4 and verse number 3, number 7, abstaining from fornication is God's will. Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse number 3, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles, which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. Abstaining from fornication is God's will. And he goes on to talk about in verse number 6, not defrauding a brother. Summertime. You know what a lot of young ladies do during the summertime? They defraud their brother. Uh-oh. Yeah, they do. They wear things they ought not wear. You say, but Pastor, he should keep his eyes in his head. I absolutely agree with that. But why in the world would you want to tempt him? Why in the world would a Christian young lady want to tempt a Christian young man by the way she's dressed and defraud her brother to have thoughts in his mind that cannot be righteously fulfilled? Abstaining from fornication is God's will. Number one, we should be committed unto His will. By the way, young men, young ladies defraud the eyes, young men defraud the ears. Young men flatter and whisper things into the ear of a young lady that they ought not. Abstaining from fornication is God's will. We should be committed unto His will. Secondly, we should be committed unto His well-doing. Would you look again at 1 Peter chapter 4? We should be committed unto. Notice, I use the word unto because that's the word used in verse number 19. It says, as unto. That's the direction. It speaks of a direction. As unto. I am committing my soul in a direction to a person as unto a faithful Creator. And number one, we should be committed unto His will. Number two, we should be committed unto His well-doing. Look what the verse says. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing. Remember what we saw Sunday in verse number 15. The Bible says, but let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters. Look, if we suffer because of our sin, that's on us. If we suffer because we're doing wrong, we deserve it. But he says in verse 16, yet, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. And that's what he's speaking of in verse 19. He says, keeping of their souls to him in well-doing. He says, look, when you're suffering and you're doing right, trust God. Don't think, well, why in the world? I'm doing right and I'm living right. Why in the world am I suffering? Because we're called to it. Don't let that shake your faith, is what he's saying. Don't let that shake your trust. Don't let that shake your confidence. Keep doing well. Keep doing good. We should be committed unto His will. We should be committed unto His well-doing. First of all, even when we are weary. What is Galatians 6, 9? Let me read you. Some of you could quote it. Galatians chapter 6, verse number 9. We should be committed unto His well-doing even when we are weary. Galatians 6, 9 says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we what? If we faint not. We should be committed unto His well-doing even when we are weary, even when we look around and we see other people not doing right and other people not living right and other people not doing well, and it seems like they are prospering because of it. Does that make you weary sometimes? Or sometimes you just get tired, don't you? Think about Gideon. Think about Gideon and his men. And the Bible says there in the book of Judges that they came across the river and they're chasing the enemy. And the Bible says they were faint, yet pursuing. They were tired. They were ready to go home and get a good night's rest. The Bible says they were faint, yet pursuing. Look, sometimes you get tired just living right and doing right and serving God. Be committed. Keep doing right. Be committed in your well-doing, even when we are weary. Secondly, especially when we are at war. Would you look there at 1 Peter 4? Especially, or excuse me, chapter number 2. 1 Peter chapter number 2. Especially when we are at war. Even when we are weary, especially when we are at war. 1 Peter 2, look at verse number 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. Having your conversation what? Honest. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God that with what? Well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. For so is the will of God that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. We should be committed unto His well-doing even when we are weary, especially when we are at war. Thirdly, simply because it's His will. We didn't even mention this one. It's His will that we do well, that we do good, that we live right. It's His will. Chapter number 3, verse number 17. Would you look there? 1 Peter 3, verse number 17. Verse 16 says, having a good conscience. Very similar to what we just read in chapter number 2. He says, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed, that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for what? Well-doing, than for what? Evil-doing. He said it's God's will for you to suffer in well-doing, not evil-doing. Not suffering because you're not living right, not suffering because you're doing wrong, but no, suffering, being persecuted, being maligned, evil spoken of, because you're doing right. He said that's God's will. Number one, we should be committed unto His will. Secondly, we should be committed unto the committed. We should be committed unto His well-doing. even when we are weary, especially when we are at war, and we are at war every day. Ephesians chapter 6, we're not going to go there, but we are in a spiritual war, spiritual warfare every day, especially when we are at war. Just listen. Just because everybody else is holding up the white flag and quitting, it's no time to throw in the towel. It's time to keep doing right. It's time to keep doing well. That's His will. We should be committed unto His will, unto His well-doing. And then lastly, we should be committed unto His worthiness. We should be committed because He is worthy. In the book of Job, chapter number 13, verse number 15, Job says, "Though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. Though He slay me, yet will I trust Him." Why did Job say that? Because God is worthy. Because we trust Him with the keeping of our souls as unto a faithful Creator. We should be committed unto His worthiness. Take your Bibles, if you would, and go to the book of Revelation. Would you do that? Not too far from where we're at. Revelation chapter number 4. We should be committed unto His worthiness. Revelation chapter number 4, verse number 11. "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For Thou hast done what? Created." He's the faithful Creator. "For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." We've said this many times. Why were we created? For God's pleasure. Okay, how do we please Him? By faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6. "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him," the Bible says. How do we please Him? By faith, committing our souls as unto a faithful Creator. By faith, what is faith? Excuse me, faith. It is complete dependence and trust. It's complete belief. Look at chapter 5, verse number 5. Revelation 5, verse number 5. "One of the elders saith unto me, Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." Number three, we should be committed unto His worthiness. He is worthy, first of all, to safeguard our souls. He is worthy to safeguard our souls. Would you take your Bibles and go to 2 Timothy? He is worthy to safeguard, to safeguard our souls. 2 Timothy chapter number 1. The Apostle Paul, speaking to Timothy, he says, verse number 12, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed." I'm not ashamed. And that's what we saw in 1 Peter. We shouldn't be ashamed. He says, "Nevertheless, I am not ashamed." Notice this. "For I know." Paul says, "I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to do what? To keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day." I know whom I have believed. And because of that, I've believed in a faithful Creator. I know whom I have believed. And because of that, I am persuaded that He is able. He's worthy. He's worthy to safeguard our souls. By the way, the keeping of our souls is much more important than the preservation of our physical bodies. We saw this during COVID, the fear that swept people, even Christians. Why are we so fearful? And I say we, I'm just talking about Christianity as a whole. Why are we so fearful? You know Christ? To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Well, you say, Pastor, you ready to die tonight? Well, I'm ready. I don't want to. Because I have three children that I want to see get married. I have a daughter. I want her to come home and I want to see her. And if the Lord would allow, I'd be glad to have grandbabies. Not right now, but a few years down the road. I'm not old enough to have grandbabies yet, but actually I am. But look, do you want to die tonight? No, but I'm ready. Why all the fear? The keeping of our souls is much more important than the preservation of our physical bodies. I've said this before, and I don't say this demeaning at all, because we ought to pray for these things. But if you look at our prayer sheets, what's the vast majority of our prayer request? They're physical. When the truth is, the salvations and the spiritual needs are the ones we ought to be focusing on. Those people, if they die tonight, they're going to a devil's hell. If they die tonight, they're going to be under the condemnation of God forever. My neighbor, if he dies tonight, he'll be under the condemnation of God forever. That's more important than physical preservation. He is worthy to safeguard our souls. And then secondly, look back. 1 Peter 4 again, He is worthy. We've already mentioned this. We mentioned this Sunday. And I believe we mentioned it last Wednesday night. He is worthy to be glorified during our grief. He is worthy to be glorified during our grief. Look at verse number 11. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Remember, he's talking about suffering. The vast majority of the context of 1 Peter is suffering. And we are called to suffer because Jesus gave us the example. Look at verse number 16. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but do what? But let him glorify God on this behalf. Pastor, you like suffering? No, I don't. I don't know. But you know what? We're called to it. And if it comes, He should get the glory in the midst of it. He is worthy to safeguard our souls. He is worthy to be glorified during our grief. One more passage and we're done tonight. Would you go back to Hebrews? Hebrews chapter 4. You know the passage. Because He is our faithful Creator, and even more importantly, because He's our faithful Savior, because He's our faithful priest, He is intimately knowledgeable about everything that we go through. And that's why I can trust Him not only with the keeping of my soul, but I can trust Him with my daily activities. I can trust Him with my daily trials and troubles. I can trust Him with my daily victories. Look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our what? He is intimate with our infirmities. And so when we suffer and when we go through grief, He should get the glory. Because we are fellowshipping with His suffering. He says, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. He is worthy to safeguard our souls. And He is worthy to be glorified during our grief. Committed unto the committed. We should be committed unto His will. We should be committed unto His well-doing. And we should be committed unto His worthiness. If He's worthy to safeguard my soul, and He is, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him. What have you committed unto Him? Most of you have committed your souls to Him. Okay, then we should be able to commit our finances to Him. We should be able to commit our children to Him. We should be able to commit our daily schedules to Him. We should be able to commit what's going on in our nation right now to Him. Because He's worthy. Committed unto the committed. Praise God for that. Amen. Oh, that's good. As unto a faithful Creator. And He is faithful. Hey, we got plenty of time. It's 10 till. Let's take some time and pray. If you do get finished before 8, if you're done before 8, please kind of stay in here. Give them time to finish over there. But we have plenty of time to pray. So I'm going to pray and dismiss us. If you need to go, that's totally fine. But let's take a little time and pray and lift up these requests that were mentioned tonight, okay? Father, we sure do love You tonight. Thank You for this truth. Thank You that we can commit our souls, that we can commit who we are for that matter. Everything that we have, who we are, everything that we are, everything that we do can be committed to You because You're a faithful Creator. And Lord, I pray that we would do that even tonight. Lord, there might be someone that would need, as we go to prayer tonight, even before they begin to pray for these requests, they might need to just whisper a prayer and say, Lord, I need to be more committed to Your will. Lord, I need to be more committed to well-doing. Lord, I need to be more committed because You are worthy. So, Lord, thank You for that truth tonight. Help us as we pray. I pray that You would incline Your ear toward us. Hear us and answer, Lord. Lord, I pray that You give safety on the van tonight. Help us to get these children home safely back to their parents. Father, bring us back together at the next appointed time, and we'll thank You and praise You for it. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. You are dismissed. Let's spend some time in prayer.